Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and my wonderful co-host today, Charlene McNeil. Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Charlene,
ready to go, huh?
What'd you say?
I said we're ready to go.
Oh, we're going.
Yeah, everybody start calling.
Yeah,
let's
we're 90
working.
Miles an hour.
Yeah, before, let's get working.
Well, before people call, I really need to tell a little story.
Okay.
And the reason I want to tell this story is because, well, first of all, it's about my six-year-old granddaughter who is a real wonderful trip. She's precious. But that's not the reason why I want to tell this story.
Oh.
I want to tell this story because, to me, it is a perfect example of, number one, attitude, and how you work with the belief system and how this belief system materializes things in your life. And that's why I want to tell this story. My daughter and her family visited me a couple days ago, and this little six-year-old is just so dear. Anyway, they live in the Carolinas next to a golf course. Now, this child, as I said, is 6 years old. Their house backs up to the golf course, and it's right about in the middle of the golf course where all the men start losing their golf balls. So this six-year-old has a business, and she sets up a little table at the end of their property. She doesn't go on the golf course property, just at the end of her property. And on this table, she's got a pile of golf balls that she has retrieved from the golf course pond. That's her stock in trade. And so she has a sign, and she sells these golf balls to the men who probably really need one at that point. And she sells them for $1 or $2. And it depends on how fast the golf ball is, whether it's a $1 one or a $2 one. And so she sits there with her dog. Dog keeps her company, helps the sale. And she'll sell lemonade when it's hot, water. But her main, shall we say, trade is golf balls. This six-year-old has her own business card.
No.
Which I just love. So the men come over, and they see this child, you know, with this cute dog, and they got to buy a golf ball. Well, of course, they probably need one, but how can you not buy a golf ball for a little six-year-old? So she was sitting at the table, and she had $54 with her, and I said to her, "Where in the world did you get all this money?" And she says, "From selling golf balls." So she started telling me about the different brands and what's fast and what's slow
on the golf ball.
Right. And so her sister showed me a little video clip that she had on her cell phone of this child rolling around gleefully on the floor on top of her money. She had all this money on the floor, and she's rolling around on it, gleefully laughing and chuckling over this money that she's rolling on. And she did this because her father told her she's going to be rolling in money. So this child made a lot of money. And I said to her, "Isabella, who told you all these things?" And she points to all her family sitting at the table, and she says, "Them."
They'll be rolling in money. Oh, my God.
And so of course, I just thought this was so cute just because she's cute. But then I got thinking about it. What an influence we have on our family members, on friends, and especially these little ones, because now I have to say the family's only regard is not in money. I mean, they're a very well-balanced family, but the father sells real estate, the mother manages the condominium. So they come from a very business-oriented family. And I was thinking of how that they are how this child is programming her mind. She programs it on other matters too, but it was this concept of the joy, and this is how her parents are with whatever they are doing. There is such joy in this, and it's carrying over to this child, and they have produced a business model for her. And I was thinking to myself, my golly, she has programmed her mind. She's got the joy in it, and where in the world is this child going to be in 10, 15, or 20 years? And so this is how it works with programming the subconscious. And I wanted to mention this to people today, Charlene, because our attitudes in life, no matter what they are, you have to have an attitude to bring forth a belief system to line it up to materialize what you want in life. And, you know, Charlene, we've done a lot of work with people who have called in who had programmed things in their past that they now had to change because they have desires now, and those past attitudes are causing conflict with materializing things in their life that they want. And so this is very important. And I bring this up because, number one, I think it's important to understand one's attitude, whether it is towards prosperity, whether it is towards love, joy. What is your attitude about these things? Do you feel that you deserve it? Is it more than just wanting something? Are you deserving of all of these wonderful things that you wish to bring into your life? And so, my friends, with that, I would now like to invite you to call into us. It's a toll-free number at 877-876-5227. Now, call in. You can call in for whatever kind of healing that you're looking for or information from the cherubim, but I want you, while you're listening to our voices, think about some of the attitudes that you might have that you would like to change the programming. Do you feel you're beautiful enough? I don't care if you have a wart on your nose. You got to feel beautiful. You know that there is something inside of you that is beautiful, regardless of what is on the outside. Do you have enough loving friends and family around you? Do you feel prosperous enough? All of this starts with an attitude, my dear friends. And so if you've got some thoughts that, wow, I'd like to change some of these things, like to change some of my attitudes, like to change some of my programming, would like to manifest in my life, whether it is something that is of a healing nature in the physical, whether it is a healing nature in the heart, whether it is a healing nature in the mind, we are here. Call in. Again, the number is 877-876-5227. If this is the first time that you are listening to this show, understand that this is the kind of work that we do with God. Now, Charlene, what I'd like for you to do, if you'd be kind enough, just give a brief outline of how you work with God to make some of these changes.
Well, I think that you bringing this point out is really quite pointed, because I've had a couple of clients this week that is exactly bottom line was, or what some people call it, the core issue, was that conception to birth and then from birth to present time has made a big difference. I call it the sphere of understanding. That granddaughter of yours sees it as a companion and a fun thing. It isn't anything that is lacking, that she will be lacking in, because her parents enjoy the job they've got. She doesn't hear, you know, somebody saying, oh, I have to go to work, I hate my job, I have to pay my bills, I hate paying my bills. You see, anytime that negative starts coming in, like you were saying, she doesn't hear that. And so what happens is she just feels like she should do it, and it's okay. And what it does is it opens up the field so that she can produce that in a kind, loving way, and she's deserving of it. And that will make a difference in her life. But so many people, like I say, with clients this week, I've had people that were not raised under those circumstances, and they're still living in that lack and that feeling that they're not deserving of having prosperity, or that they're also looking at it as, yeah, God gives it to others, but he doesn't give it to me. But as the bottom line comes down to it, it's the way they have been raised and the way the subconscious has been programmed for their behavior about whether they should have it or not.
Okay, Charlene, there are probably people in the listening audience who have not heard us before, and they're not aware of how we work. So first of all, tell people what the field is, and then tell
okay.
people how you work with
okay.
God
what
and
we
bring
do
these
is
about.
When I'm working with somebody, I say, okay, what I'll end up doing is finding out what your issue is, and usually that issue, let's say it's with money. So then we'll go in, and usually you've come into this life with that issue from past life. So God, when I say that we go into the field, it's into the God field, into the God energy field. When you go into quantum field, you're in a different vibrational frequency. When you go into that frequency, as a clinical hypnotherapist, I learned that our brain waves slow down from 4 to 6 cycles per second, and that's how you can program the subconscious. So what I do is I have God pull out the negative information that is in the field, or in other words, not in the God field, but in your field, in the past life. It's in your subconscious mind. It can come through in your DNA from your ancestors. It comes through in your heart mind. And what we do is go in when you slow down the brain waves. Then you go in and you make a command that God pulls out those. You're not commanding God, you're commanding the energy of the negative frequency for what your perception has been. Like, for instance, oh, I don't deserve to have money. I hate money. If you have money, a lot of money, it's because you got it at one fellow said, well, then you get it unrighteously. See, so that had to be pulled out, and then God will put back in the field those that are wealthy, serve and others. I am loved. I deserve all that is in God's field.
Well, Charlene, we have somebody who must have a wish list.
Okay.
Bring your wish list here, folks, and let's see what we can do with it. And your name, please.
Hey, it's Rebecca. How are you ladies doing?
Hi, Rebecca. Don't you just love that story?
Yes, I do. It's so great. It's so great.
So, Rebecca, what's on your wish list today? What do you wish to change?
Allowing prosperity to flow in my life.
Okay. All right. And what is your perception about prosperity? Because we take the negative out and replace it with the positive. So what is your perception about that would be on a negative?
What's holding you back from prosperity?
Right. What's holding you back?
Right. That you really have to work hard.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Doesn't come with ease and grace.
Okay.
No, and there's just, you know, there's just barely enough.
Okay, that's very good.
Yeah, so I would say probably clearing or working on those two would...
Is that the main one?
Yeah, or always living from paycheck to paycheck, that's a good one.
Oh, okay, because what I'm doing is I'm writing.
Right.
Okay, I'm writing down paycheck
right.
to paycheck, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because what we'll do is we'll go in there and pull those out.
Right.
Okay, so you only deserve to live from paycheck to paycheck.
Correct.
Okay. You also, there's never enough.
Correct.
There's never enough for me, right?
Correct. There's always another bill coming up. And oh, here's another one. You rob Peter to pay Paul.
Oh, that's a good one.
Poor Peter.
Yeah.
Peter, he gets blamed for everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably enough. That's about four of them.
Well,
oh, and
okay.
Charlene, one of the things that we probably want to replace this with is that this prosperity comes to her with ease and grace. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
What do
okay.
you think?
Okay. Now, tell me something. When we go into the quantum field,
uh-huh.
to put a change in it, what do you choose to have put in there? There's always enough for me, not just enough.
Right. Maybe something along the lines of there's more. I've heard people say I have more money in my life than I could possibly ever spend.
Ah, okay.
But that's specifically for money, and there can be prosperity in friendships. And so I was thinking something like, I have more prosperity in my life than I could ever imagine. How would that be?
Okay.
I like that word abundance also.
Yes, I have more prosperity and abundance.
Okay, now you have to be careful with the word abundance.
Why? What's wrong with that one?
Well, because through the years I've found that if I put into the God field that I have abundance. You can have abundance of friends. You can have abundance of clothes. You see, you've got to have, I have abundance of money.
Okay, gotcha.
So what I'm trying to explain to everybody is you have to be very, very precise.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Remember every word that we use.
Right.
Becomes our reality, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so when any of you out there are, and right now, and Carolyn will verify this, right now those things that you say are going to be coming back to you much more quickly than they have in the past.
Okay.
So, in other words, you say, I have abundance of money that comes to me in a positive way.
Okay.
Because you could just have it come and maybe you get in an accident, right?
Correct.
That wouldn't be appropriate. That isn't what you choose.
No.
But you didn't put it in the field.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
You don't want to get money through some way that would cause pain.
Right, or suffering for you or somebody
right.
else.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I have abundance of money that comes to me in a positive way.
Okay.
Does that sound better?
Well, yes, it does. It does.
Okay, just a minute, I'm writing. I make sure I put it down as you say it. So,
okay,
I have abundance of money that comes to me in a positive way at all times.
Right.
How's that? Is that more correct?
Yeah, how about easily?
Oh, easily?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At all times.
Yes.
Does that, see what I'm trying to get you to be more precise in your wording?
Absolutely, yes. So you zero in on.
Okay, so that's more what you really choose, isn't it?
Yes.
I have abundance of money that comes to me in a positive way, easily at all times. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so what we're going to go is pull the negative, and that'll be the positive.
Okay.
Now, how much, if I turned around and I said to you, how much would you choose to be having coming in at a regular monthly, what would it be? If I said, okay, let's open up the field, how much would you choose to have coming in a month?
Oh, 10 grand.
10,000, okay. Well, that's okay.
Should I ask for more?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be great to have like 100,000 coming in each month.
I love it.
Okay, because what I'm trying to do is open it up so people out there are looking at the whole picture, a bigger picture, rather in such small increments.
How How about unlimited amount?
Oh, God, for you, lady. There's really what you choose.
Okay.
Okay, if God has created all that there is, then if you say unlimited, then you haven't put a cap on it, have you?
No.
Because I've had people where they say, no, you know, if I make $2,000 a month, that'll be just fine. And
right.
I go, well, now you're capping it.
Right.
Because what we're talking about is the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is very, very obedient to what we say.
Okay.
Very obedient. So let's say that I had one fellow a few years ago. He wouldn't even put in that he made $5 an hour.
Oh, I see.
And I said, but you're putting a limit on yourself. How about just saying unlimited? And he wouldn't do it. But he lost his job and he struggled and struggled because he just would not follow and put unlimited amount. So you're doing a good job with say unlimited amount. In other words, God's not going to limit how much he lets come in.
Okay.
Okay?
Can we do abundance of prosperity and money?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unlimited.
Right, right. So it'd be abundance of prosperity and money comes easily to me.
And an unlimited amount.
Right.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, because I'm putting down exactly what you say.
Right.
And I'm writing it so that it goes in as you state it.
Okay.
Because it's your statement that counts. Not mine.
Okay.
Okay, so I write what you choose to have put in the field because it's your field, isn't it?
Right, and I have to believe it, so.
Okay. Oh, there you are. There you pinned it.
That's it.
Right.
You gotta believe it.
That's it. So now what is the next step on that?
Well, it's going in and clearing out the negative fields and then placing that positive statement in the fields, right?
Yeah, but what was it you just now said to me?
Oh, believing it'll happen.
Okay. Happen. I believe that it will happen.
Okay.
Okay, now let me back you up just a little bit.
Okay.
I believe it's going. Going in a subconscious can be any place, maybe 10 years from now.
I believe it is happening.
Okay, I believe going.
Oh, I know. It is happening.
Aha.
Yes.
Good for you.
Okay.
It has now.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Put it in the now.
Okay. Okay. So it is now happening.
It has now happened.
Okay.
Okay. Or I have received. Most times what I'll have people do is back off and say, I have received.
Yes.
In other words, you stated as if it has already occurred. Because that's the only thing the subconscious understands.
Okay. Okay.
So you, and somebody says, well, to me, many will say to me, yeah, but it hasn't. And I go, no, you're talking, see, now you just canceled with the positive. You put in what is already, so that the subconscious understands that this is a fact. This is what's happened. This is done.
This is the result, yeah.
This is the result.
Okay.
So it becomes the subconscious is very obedient.
Okay.
To what we state. So you're to say that. If somebody says, how is your health? I say, oh, my health's great.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought you had pneumonia. Well, yeah, I did. But my health is great.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
I just did.
It as if you already own
yes.
the goal.
Okay.
All right?
It sounds great.
Okay, and then we'll put in that you not only deserve it, that you now accept it.
Okay.
Is yours.
Okay.
And that's part of the belief system. Okay?
Okay.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Belle, we'll go in and do this for you. If you can think of anything else before I go in to do that, what is it?
I guess maybe we can just re-go over it. An abundance of prosperity and money comes easily to me at all times.
Okay.
And what was the other part?
Unlimited amount.
In unlimited amounts. And I have received it.
Well, I'll do that. That'll go in at the first.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you just read over the whole statement that you've
yeah,
put down?
Yeah, the statement is, I have now received an abundance
of
money in an unlimited amount at this time.
Okay.
And from this time forward.
Okay, sounds great.
Does that sound better?
Yeah. Yes, that sounds better. I'm right.
You could have it in one lump sum, but not have it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Okay. And I guess just the only thing, like, to put in there would be the prosperity, too.
Uh-huh. Well, that's abundance, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
You want the word prosperity in place of abundance?
No, I'm just wanting, because we do abundance of money, I'm thinking also abundance of friendship, abundance of good health, but I guess all of that would have to be...
Right, that would be a separate... You can still do that and put those different characteristics in there.
Okay.
But you, like I said, all of you listening, be very aware that whatever you speak has a vibrational frequency on it, which is programming the quantum field.
Okay.
And then it comes back to you.
Okay.
So make sure that you're very precise in saying, if you're going to do prosperity, then specify. If you're going to say abundance, specify it's money.
Okay.
Abundance of friends.
Okay,
you
so
know,
the,
it can be a home to live in.
It can be a what?
It can be a home that you live in.
Okay.
There, I mean, it's unlimited.
Okay.
You know, we put a limit on ourselves a great deal, but if God creates all there is, why should he create less for you than somebody else?
Okay.
It's because of what you're putting in the field.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, do you want to do the abundance of friends?
No, that's fine. I understand what you're saying now. So.
Okay, because abundance can be of friends. In fact, when we get off, you can just say, you can put it out there and speak it. I now have abundance of friends that seek me out.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay?
Sounds great.
You know, and somebody, maybe it's in the workforce, you can say, you know, I really enjoy my job. I have an abundance of energy for my job. My coworkers work with me in a very positive way. I do a lot of those things all the time. And it changes the workforce.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so when we get off with doing that, then you start writing down and putting it in the now and exactly what you choose and then speak it.
Okay, and then just speak it once?
Yeah, then start speaking it, and then when you not only speak it, I want you to feel what it feels like to have that in your life.
Okay, yeah, that energy.
Yeah, you've got to have the energy of the feeling and the thought pattern and the verbalization.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds
all
great.
Right. All right, let's go and do this for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow, Charlene is doing this because she doesn't hear us, and you've chatted with us before, Rebecca, so you know this, but I'm mentioning this for others who might be listening to us for the first time. As Charlene goes into the quantum field, she doesn't hear us because she is going up to Theta, and so I'm able to speak to Rebecca, and Charlene doesn't hear us. And again, this is not so much for you, Rebecca, but for others. I would like to state again this emotion. The emotion and feelings that someone has when they are working on this themselves, because people can do this themselves if they are aware of how this operates. The emotion, I believe, is joy, is gratitude. They are, in my opinion, the two emotions that really move this along. So you imagine the joy that you will feel when this is in your life, or as it is in your life presently. So you surround this with this great joy and love, knowing that it is done. It is there at the moment.
Okay.
let me make a comment right here before I go on.
I thought you were there quietly doing the work.
Oh, well, I was, but I've had to stop. He told me to make a comment right
here. Oh, okay.
One of the things he would like to have pulled is that in your past life there was an oath of poverty created.
Yes.
Okay, so he wants to pull with your permission. There's a lot of things that he won't do because of free agency, so sometimes after he tells me to come back and ask permission.
Yes, you have permission.
Okay, because I'm looking at, it looks like you're in a village, and it's a very, very poor village with looks like there wasn't enough food, and it looks like most of your commodities that you made, I think it was given to a king.
Okay.
Did your family come from, lived in a royalty?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And then what it did was you took an oath of poverty.
Okay.
In order for that feeling that if you were in poverty, that was considered righteousness.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so he'll go in and pull that, okay?
Okay, awesome.
All right.
You know, wow, that's fascinating, Rebecca, because this is what I am seeing as I'm clearing my past lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us, I'm sure all of us who are listening, and probably you and myself, you know, we lived on Earth during the Middle Ages where so many of the souls were serfs, bound to the land, and they produced for the king and the church, and the people were impoverished because of this.
Yes, I think they call them serfs.
Yes.
S-E-L-Fs or serfdom, yes.
S-E-R-F, I believe.
Oh, yes, you're right, yes.
And also the monastic movement,
mm-hmm,
during that period of time, you know, with the brothers and the nuns, they certainly lived in poverty, took oaths of poverty.
Yes, and they still do for the Catholic Church.
Yeah. So these oaths are very powerful, and I believe that all of us at one time or another have lived under those oaths.
Yes.
I know I've had to break a lot of mine.
Uh-huh.
I had oaths all over the place.
Uh-huh. That's interesting because you talk about the that age of working for the king and things like that. That has come out through different techniques that I have actually been in that,
mm-hmm,
period. So
I was in France, and we were at this castle where there was winemaking done. And the serfs would come up with their carts filled with grapes, and they would sort of slide them into the basement where other people then took the grapes and made the wine. And, of course, most of this went to, like we said, the king, the church. The people didn't prosper that much for it. And I was there. Our guide showed us where all the casks would have been where they made the wine. And coming up out of the ground, I could feel this sense of poverty from these people who had worked so hard. They had such little bit, and this was all imbued in the earth itself, and the people that I was with, we cleared that. But the poverty and this sense of, really it was a form of being unworthy. I mean, people were used. They were used as if they were workers who could not enjoy what they had produced. And these energies actually went down into the earth.
Yes, they were just expendable.
Yes.
And that still goes on today in certain countries.
Of course.
Yes. There's a lot of clearing, I feel like, that's going on in this arena with people and also countries and, you know, being able to move ahead.
But people's emotions do collect in the earth itself.
Yes.
I thought maybe Charlene was coming back, but she's not. It was shown to me how the earth is segmented into segments that that appears very similar to the way it looks like on a soccer ball.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so if you are in an area where people are very happy, all this joy goes down into the earth, and when you go there, you feel this.
Mm-hmm.
The same way if you go to some of these places where people have suffered very, very much, like some of the concentration camps and so forth, that energy is still imbued in there unless there are light workers that go and clear that.
Mm-hmm.
I was with a group of light workers. They went into the Colosseum and cleared the earth there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other lady that you're on with on another show, she has gone and, like, helped clear out the negative energy of 9/11 and some of the shootings at
yes.
the schools and stuff, and she's talked about that.
Yes, that's Caroline Allen, and Caroline transitioned not too long ago.
She passed away?
Yeah, we were very saddened.
Oh, my goodness, I'm shocked.
Yeah, yeah. She had so much work. We were saddened to lose her great work that she was doing here.
Oh, my gosh.
It was
that
very sudden.
Was it unexpected?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
wow.
Nobody expected it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Caroline was usually with me on the Saturday show.
Yes.
And so Charlene is with me now. And, you know, we've had some others here on Saturday. So the format's going to be changed a little bit, and that's the reason why. Though Caroline is with us in spirit.
Oh,
matter
yeah.
of fact, she's showing me her face right now. She's here right now. She's letting us know
yeah.
that she is here in spirit with us. And what she is telling me now is that one of the things that she's doing on the other side now is working with the energies. So the energies, what she's saying is she's helping with the energies from the individual, and she is also helping in the quantum field along with Charlene. So we have an energy light worker on the other side who's working with us too.
Yes.
Oh, bless her.
Yes, yes. Wow, wow.
It
yes.
really is a wow, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, so, how are you feeling, my dear?
I'm a little in shock because I just heard about Carolyn Allen.
Yeah, I just came back in hearing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she made a choice to go so that she could help on that side.
Yes, yeah, I know, so.
Yeah, she is.
Overall, though, I'm feeling like I have been cleared.
Okay, are you feeling a sense, there's a feeling there that I'm picking up from you, a sense of hope, is that correct?
Yes, very much, and a lot lighter.
Okay, lighter?
Yes.
And there's another feeling. What is the feeling?
I guess joy and excitement.
Oh, there it is. I could feel
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I was going to say it ahead, and then I thought, no, nah, let her come up with it.
No, it's like...
I feel this sense of excitement.
Yes,
and,
very much.
And, like, you're just ready to get out there and get doing.
Yes, and it almost feels like these gates have opened up.
Now, do you have... is there some kind of product that you've been anxious to produce?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, Carol,
Charlene asked you, Rebecca, if there is some product that you have been anxious to produce or perhaps involved with.
Yes, yes.
Okay, is that where you can have your unlimited amount of...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because that's what I'm seeing.
Yes.
Well, then the excitement is get going.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You're just to go and do.
Okay.
Do not let the left brain or the analytical brain go in and cancel out.
Okay.
Okay, you're to stay in what God told me a few years ago. Teach him the difference between resistance and non-resistance. When you put it in the field, do not go in and start analyzing and judging the fact that you have this product that you want to produce.
Okay.
You go and do.
Okay.
And do, and as soon as that analytical brain versus the ego says, oh, well, maybe it won't work or blah, 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 right? It goes into all that.
Right.
You just say, wait a minute, I don't go there anymore.
Right. Okay.
I choose to be released from that, okay?
Okay. Well, that sounds wonderful. I really appreciate all your help.
Okay.
Oh, Rebecca, call us back and let us know how your project's going.
I will.
You know, we wish you the greatest success.
I know. Okay, well, thank you so much, ladies. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Charlene, before we get on to the next person, there's two things I want to talk about. First of all, I want you to give everybody your home telephone number in case they want to call you directly and work with you. And then I want to talk about Archangel Mikhail's project with Ascending Wave. So how
okay,
about
that
first,
would be perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
How about you talking about...
All right. Because what we can do is I will help you to reprogram the... Like with her, had to go in and not just program the from conception to birth and from birth to present time, but he took her back into the past life because the cellular memory
mm-hmm.
had information there that he said needed to be eliminated and in her DNA from her ancestors. So he also cleared her ancestors. It wasn't just her. That was cleared.
While you're talking about that, I would also like to mention, Charlene, that what I see happening is there are some people who are incarnating in these lines where they previously lived in that genetic line, and they're there with the mission of clearing themselves and clearing their whole genetic line.
Right. Absolutely. You're right. In fact, God said, told me, just a few months ago, he said, now when you go in to clear their ancestral line, make sure that you clear their past lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not, like with Rebecca, she not only cleared her issue, but she cleared her ancestors' issues. She cleared her ancestors' past life issues associated with it. Any of her ancestors that had the same issue. And what it does is it clears it off of the energy field of the earth so that the energy field here is not going to become more and more dense with the negative. We're starting to put the positive back on the earth's field. And that's
yes, and
doing.
All of this clearing is really changing the consciousness of humanity and the consciousness of the grid system.
That's exactly what needed to be said.
So this is, folks, if you're listening to this, I want to tell you this is very big, important work. When you as individuals do this on your own or work with an energy worker or call in on these different calls that where we're working in the healing modality, you're not just clearing yourself, you're clearing all these things. And this is truly expansive work. Anyway, Charlene,
okay,
give your phone number, darling.
Okay, it's Mountain Standard Time, and it's 801-944-9346. And if I don't call you back in 48 hours, please call again. Oh, and would you please call and... because those of you that are using cell phones, sometimes what it's doing is breaking up what you're saying, and I don't get all of your telephone number. It'll be just pieces of it here and there.
Well, tell them to repeat the phone number.
Yeah, so please repeat your number and your telephone number and your name more than one time, because the cell phones are breaking it up when it's on the out in the field there. I'm not getting it all. I had two this week. And I, no matter what I did, I couldn't pick it up what it was. So if there's any of you that I have not called back, it's probably because I can't read your number.
You know, I do that all the time, Charlene. Whenever I leave a phone number, I always repeat the phone number once or twice.
Yeah, it certainly does help a great deal because
because
the cell phones don't really carry the numbers clearly or your name clearly. Sometimes it'll... I drop most of the name, and I don't get the name or part of only part of the telephone number.
Oh, they must be working with these networks that don't have all those people standing behind the phone.
Yeah. So please just, you know, if I don't answer you in 48 hours, I'm not ignoring you. It might not come through correctly, or sometimes the machine doesn't always produce it. So, you know, it is because I'm ignoring it. Just call me back. And that's 801-944-9346.
Well,
okay,
now
let's talk about that field again.
What'd you say?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about what you got on Thursday. I thought that was incredible.
Did you listen to that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well,
I think I must have done something wrong because nobody could hear that I was on there.
Oh, well, your presence was there, and that's all that was important.
That's what counts.
Yeah,
right?
Archangel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Archangel Michael is doing some extraordinary work right now on our conference calls. And first of all, they brought in the standing wave, and when I say they, it took three of them to do it: Archangel Michael, Yeshua, and Master Kasumi. Three of them brought in the standing wave. And what the standing wave is the same wave that is in the pyramid of Cheops, and it is also located in many of the sacred sites. And the standing wave was used by initiates who studied the process, and it was used for healing, and it was also used for ascension. You know, it is an ascension tool. We talk about ascension as something that is only happening now in, or about to happen in this time frame, but people ascended in the past also. We're not always aware of that, but people moved up through the dimensions, left the earth plane with their physical bodies. So this, even though it seems new to us, it has occurred on this planet before. And there were initiates who studied under other teachers who learned how to do this. And right now, the teachers are not here to teach us this, but Archangel Michael is teaching us this process on the conference calls. So if you want to be a part of that, you go to my website at www.carolynevers.com, and up at the right-hand corner, there is a button that says conference calls, join us, because, well, we've done an awful lot of remarkable work on conference calls and voices from heaven, which is interviewing those on the other side, but I just think this work is so remarkable, and it is healing, Charlene. I don't know, since you listened to it, if you felt the energy of that healing that
was
coming
in. Well, can they actually contact you to get the tape then?
Oh, yes, the tape.
Mention that.
Yes, we're going to be in a, if they contact me or join the conference calls, we will have those things available so they can witness the bringing in of the wave. This particular call that you participated or listened to, that brought this standing wave to the subtle bodies. Next month, Archangel Michael is going to be working on then taking that energy to the physical. Now, I'm not sure how many, he didn't tell me how many of these we're going to be working with the standing wave. But to me, it is one of the most remarkable things that I have heard and witnessed. So,
well, I thought the meditation was excellent.
Wasn't it beautiful?
Oh, it was really grand, and I think everybody that's listening, really, you'd really be rewarded to be able to have that meditation.
It is beautiful.
Because I thought it was just a wonderful, soothing sense of well-being.
Yes.
That came through.
Well, since you brought that up, I will mention that how the conference calls usually work is whether it's Archangel Michael or Yeshua or Master Kasumi, they're perhaps the three that appear most. So Mother Mary has appeared, and also Pope John has been there. But usually it's those three, and they start out by giving me a message that is an introduction to the work. And then after that, they come and do a meditation, which is, I think, very remarkable. And that implements the energies of whatever they're working with. It then implements the energies into the physical body. And that is how it works. And then people usually have a period afterwards where they can question the master as to what has happened. They might have questions that surround it. And I find that so fascinating how they answer the questions.
I thought so.
Well, my friends out there, apparently there is no one else that has a wish list. So if there's anybody there who has a wish list, give us a call. We have a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. You might be wishing for prosperity, as Rebecca was wishing. Or
let me make a comment about Rebecca's clearing that was done.
Okay.
Those that were listening, I have found that in working with people, if I have a group of individuals or I'm teaching a class or lecturing or something, all of those that were listening today and we were doing this clearing for Rebecca, you are also being cleared for it as well because you're in the energy field. So all of you have been cleared with these same issues, taking out the negative belief systems, and God would put in the positive in the same way because you were in the field. We're all connected as one. And so you all, those of you that are listening, will also receive what Rebecca received.
Beautiful thought. But there might be some other issues in your life. It might be that you have family or companions where you might want more harmony, co-workers. You know, you're in a sense forced to work with them, and maybe there's friction. So you might want some of those issues cleared. Or you might ask for a reading that I do with the cherubim for some other issue that's involved in your life where you have a question. I get some really interesting questions about that, Charlene.
Really?
Yeah,
like
I really
what?
Do. Well,
put it out there. What are some of the questions that you get?
Well, a lot of people want to know about their mission in this lifetime.
Okay.
In other words, what did I choose to do when I came into this lifetime? How can I work, do God's will through me in what I'm doing right now? Also, people want to know if they have made a commitment with another soul in this lifetime to join them either as a spouse or work with them on some level. I get questions about people want to know if their spiritual partner is here. People have different names for it, you know, a soul partner, an individual that they have worked with through many of their lifetimes. I get questions about people who have transitioned to the other side. What are they doing now? Or relationships that people have had. Something went sour in a relationship. Someone that I really thought I loved, they've left me. What happened? What am I to learn from this? So there's a lot of those questions. Things happened in the past, and people can't get over them for one reason or another, and they want clarity. Want clarity on issues in their life. Some people want to know, I'm divorced. Why did that happen? How can I get over that? So it's amazing the subject matter that people will ask questions about and the answers that come from their Akashic records, because this is what we're doing with the cherubim. They're pulling their Akashic records, and this is where the answers are coming from. So, my goodness, what is everybody out there picnicking today? Give us a call. We're into this. We've been on this show now for an hour. Half is gone. So give us a call. Just don't sit back and listen to us. I know that we're interesting.
Yes.
Your word is my command, huh?
Yeah.
And who's this?
Hi, my name is Monica.
Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hi.
What can we do for you, dear?
Well, I have a question. I need clarity as far as I just got into metaphysics, and I wanted to know maybe how I could go in that path.
Now, what you went a little fast in the beginning. You said something about metaphysics. What did you say about that?
I said I just got into metaphysics.
And what are you studying, a course?
I'm doing Reiki and joining meditation groups and things like that.
Oh, so you've learned how to do Reiki, and
right.
You're working with meditation groups.
Right.
And then the question is?
Am I supposed to go towards that path?
Okay, so you want to know, is there something there that is attracting you, and is this something that you should develop more? Does
right.
that sound sort of like your, what's your question?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Monica. Charlene, do you have something to ask about that? I mean, do you have something to work with her on that?
Well, I think she's asking for the cherubim.
I thought so, too, but I thought first
okay.
I'd come to you.
That's my perception, is that's what she's asking for.
Well, I thought so, too, but I thought maybe you had
Well, part of it is opening up your field to allow the information to come in and learn more about what the metaphysical is, because the body is a manifesting of what's going on in the subconscious field, and your body and your energy field will manifest it so that you can look at it and see what's going on.
Let me ask you a question, Monica. Have you listened to this show before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, then you're not quite sure as to how you've
this
heard
works,
how
yeah.
Charlene works. Let me give you
right.
a little insight as to how I work and what we're going okay. to be doing for you.
Okay.
There's a part of my mind that goes to the center of the cosmos where all the records of every individual soul that was created resides there. These records have been passed up through the many dimensions, through your many lifetimes, if we're just going to talk about you, Monica, through your many lifetimes, and it is recorded there, and it is protected and overseen by the cherubim, a group of cherubim. This is their job. Cherubims have two jobs, but we're just going to talk about this one.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is source, which you could call God, or they call it all there is. I like to use the word source because I find it easier to use. Source then requests different individuals' records for review. Source, then the cherubim turns it over to source, and when source is finished with it, he turns it back to the cherubim, and then they put the record back into place. Now, there is a cherubim angel there now standing with your record. And what I want to do is just give you a little insight as to how that works. They show your record to me as a book, though it really is not a book per se as we understand a book on this dimension. It is a vibrational energy field that is compressed very similar to what might appear in a computer, and it is impressed in a magnetic place that holds together all of your energies, all of your vibrations that you have carried throughout your lifetimes, not only on Earth, but from the moment that your soul was created by Source. All of that is there in one place. And so when I go to the cherubim and I ask, she's standing there, she's got it open with her finger there. but very patient. Like, she's kind of urging me on. I think she's anxious to share this with you. But I wanted to tell you and others who might be listening how this works, because I think it's very important to understand where this comes from.
Okay.
And so what she is showing me, first of all, I'd like to say, as she opened up your record, there is a great deal of white light that is coming out of that record, and along with the white light, there is golden light also. She is in a section of your record that has to do with the metaphysical experience that you have had in your past lifetimes that you have been on this particular planet. She is showing me you dressed as the priestess, those that served in the temples. She is showing me, well, the first temples that she is showing me is interesting. Going back to Atlanta, she's actually giving me the history of you as the priestess. She is showing me that you were in the temple in Atlantis, in the Temple Beautiful, where people would go and periodically do similar work to what we're doing now, clearing away the negativity, reprogramming, taking away some of the negative thinking, and your job there was working with the light rays. There were crystals that were used. There were also special light rays. People would lie on a crystal table, and you were one that brought the different colored rays that were required to clear the specific problems that that person had. So that was your life of healing in Atlantis. Now what she is doing is she's fast-forwarding where, well, there's two very close together. There's a lifetime in Greece that came actually very close to a lifetime that was in Egypt. Both, again, you were working with the metaphysical. You were working in the temple. And these two lifetimes are so close together. Let me see. We'll go to, let's go to the Greek incarnation. You're dressed there in a garment. She's showing me an Isis connection. Do you feel a connection with Isis?
With what?
Isis?
No.
Well, you probably will, because as you get more into your studies, because there is a close connection between you and the aspects of Isis and the healing modalities that Isis taught. You were, I'm seeing you as a very young initiate then. You are standing around a pool of water with other initiates of Isis, and they're working on they're sharing a purification ceremony. And what that ceremony is bringing in new initiates into this group that worked with Isis. And then switching over to the Egyptian incarnation, I see you there. The skin is different. The hair is very dark, of course. You're not quite as tall. And there is a specific temple that she is showing me that you worked with, and that was with Akhenaten in Armana. And you were working there with Akhenaten and working with the energies as they came from the sun, and using them to seek the energy from the sun into the physical. So what the cherubim are saying is, you work as an initiate in the temples on very high levels, and it is the reason that you are attracted to this work that you are doing presently with meditations. And what she is showing me is like this little box that holds a lot of jewels in it. Some people would call it a casket. It's not a casket that you bury people in, but a casket that people carried or stored jewels in. And she is like opening this. And what she is saying is you are in the very beginning opening phases of this work. And it is the jewels within that those lifetimes where you had accumulated all of this knowledge, working with these different energies. You have done this in the past. It is the case of you remembering this now, because you will be playing a role with the ascension process, and it is because you have worked with these in the past, but you are just at the very beginning stages of opening the jewel box.
Wow.
And so now she is closing your records. This was the purpose that you came in this time, dear Monica.
Right, because I am attracted to it. Everyone in my family is not into metaphysics, and it's just odd that I am drawn to it. So that answers
well,
a lot of
my
questions.
Well, I would suspect that you are there also to influence your family. In other words, this is something that they haven't opened their minds and heart to. And as they see you progress and as they see you work, there is a good opportunity that you can open their minds and hearts.
Okay. Perfect.
As a matter of fact, Monica, you'd be very, very surprised that because of the energy that has been created for you at this time, the others will start feeding into that energy. There'll be a very positive result from it that your family will start picking up on. Because I've seen whole families change in a very positive way.
Oh, good.
Okay. So.
Well, good talking to you, Monica.
You can call
us back and let us know how this works out for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was very interesting, Charlene.
Yeah.
Did you see?
But you know that I've seen it so many times where one, like you said, one person in the family starts the process. It's almost like before the individual came, they designated that they would be the one
mm-hmm.
that would be like we were laughing about being the pioneer or the pilgrim. Either one, you know, that came to make a difference and to change.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have laughed about it a lot of times saying, well, we kept raising our hands, you know. but we don't remember. But,
no.
You know,
memory is
about
cut.
It
we have another
where
caller.
She's at.
We have All another right. caller, Charlene.
Okay.
Hi.
Your name, please?
This is Lila.
Hi, Lila.
Hi,
what can we do for you, dear?
Well, last time you were on, you asked me to call you back because there wasn't enough time, and we were looking at my chakras, and I think they need balancing, and I think I have some blockages in my chakras.
Well, Charlene, it sounds like that's it balls in your court, dear.
Yes, it was. I think you mentioned that the other day, didn't you, Monty? Lila, you talked
yes.
about it then, and there wasn't time to do it.
Right, yeah, and we were talking at that time about the pineal gland and the fact that it has the same rods and cones as the eyes do. Remember we were mentioning that?
Right, right,
yeah.
I remember.
What do you say we do one thing at a time? How about starting with the balancing of the chakras? How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just do that one first, okay?
Good, okay.
Okay, just a minute. Let's go in and do that.
Well, chakra balance is very important because if the energy is not flowing, you could have a chakra like an down by your earth chakra, if that is closed and it's not operating properly, it has a big bearing on how one feels energetically. So this happens with all of the chakras. There has to be a balance and a flow of energy going through the entire body so one feels well. And if there is a chakra that is out of balance, you usually feel it physically. Have you felt some of this, Twyla?
I sometimes, when I want to focus into the higher, I feel fear. There seems to be a sense of fear. Sometimes it's not there, but sometimes it's just a
We'll work on the fear. I think it's fear needs to be cleared, and we'll work on the fear. See, I think the balancing of the chakras and working to eliminate the fear are two of the big things. But my question to you is, Charlene is saying your chakras are out of balance. Have you felt fatigue? Have you felt lethargic?
Definitely felt fatigue.
Well,
sometimes it's, yeah.
Some of that can be from an imbalance in the chakra system. The energy, if the energy doesn't flow to the different parts of the body, one really feels this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, no, I'm not functioning the way I want to function, the way I know I should be functioning.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see if this is what it is, because after she balances and clears this, you'll have a sense of a change in how one feels. Usually you feel, have a better sense of well-being.
That's what I need.
Yeah. One of the things that, so you're asking for the seven major chakras, right?
But you were showing me
that the others are not in balance either. In other words, most of us talk about the seven chakras, but there really is 32.
Right, yeah.
And so he's gone through and cleared all of them.
Really?
In other words, he's grounded you in with your feet to your life's path. Your chakras on your feet. Are your feet been hurting you?
Am I what?
Has your feet been hurting you?
No. I'm really getting cramps, though, in my legs lately.
She said she's had cramps in her legs lately, Charlene.
Oh, okay. That would be because. Because your chakras aren't balanced. Or were not balanced. They are now.
Are there any blockages, or were there blockages, or what?
She's breaking up on me.
She wanted to know if there were blockages, but I think you answered that by saying that the chakra system has been balanced.
Right, because they were not, their energy field, well, we call them chakras, but they're actually spinning wheels of energy. And if they're not spinning at the right vibrational frequency for which their God intent was, then we don't have a clear energy field coming and going from them. And so what he did was he went in and cleared all of the other energy fields, or you can call them chakras if you prefer, because the rest of them were not balanced either.
Huh.
So it would give you a better balance. Also, he cleared the heart chakra for receiving and giving of love.
May I interrupt? usually Carolyn comes out very crisp and clear, but for some reason your voice comes out kind of muffled and it's hard to understand.
Well, if you're having trouble hearing it, I will repeat it for you.
Oh, good. Okay.
The connection is real good.
Okay. She said that the 32, that there are more than seven chakras. There's 32.
I did hear that.
God went in and cleared all of those.
Wonderful. How about the fear? Because I still can sense there's a fear.
Okay, well, Charlene didn't hear that. Charlene, she has some fear issues that she would like to have cleared.
Okay.
What's the fear surrounding, Twyla? I think you said during meditation you have this fear. Is that what you said?
Sometimes, yeah, when I'm trying to focus and and meditate, go deeper, I'll sometimes feel a blockage of fear.
Okay, tell her before she meditates, before you meditate, you must clear yourself and you must put a protective shield around yourself.
Did you hear that, Twyla?
Yes.
Before you meditate, you got to clear your field and put a protective...
a shield around you.
Shield
that
around
means
you.
Actually
God's
then...
energy field around you.
Calling in the light or calling down the light and asking the my guardian angel to protect me?
Yes.
Is there any other thing that she should be doing for clearing other than that, or is that the basics as you
well,
see
Well, the
it?
Basic thing is to have God's energy field around you so that when you're doing the meditation, you don't have any negative energy coming in to you. Because you said that you're in fear. Why are you in fear when you're in meditation?
I don't know.
Well, let's ask this question, Twyla. When you are in about to meditate, do you have the sense, perhaps, that you might be interfered with from some negative force? Is that the fear?
No.
No?
It's just a feeling. There's no understanding or inkling as to where it's coming. It's just a feeling in my heart.
Charlene, is this a past life issue?
Yeah, I'm looking at it and seeing
what the
fear is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go in and clear a past life. It looks to me like it's also, I've been looking at it. It looks like it's a generational thing as well.
Okay.
Okay?
Does some of that generational...
Yeah, it comes in from the generation.
Does it have to do with the area that she's living in?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We're both picking up the same thing. Okay, look, you go in and see if you clear that, and I'll talk to Twyla.
Okay.
From the area I'm living in Honolulu?
Uh-huh. There's imprints everywhere. And I think the best way to explain this is an imprint. And it means that there have been people everywhere on this earth whose maybe thoughts were not of the light.
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to the show earlier, or did you just
I was listening to the whole thing.
Okay. Well, remember I was talking about being in France. And how I could feel the sadness from the people who were serfs and turning over all of their work to the church and to the king. Did you hear that part?
Very vaguely.
Well, things, you know, when people live on the earth, there are things that happen that are unpleasant, that
yes,
they're sad about, or people have thoughts that are in error. And the thinking of human beings doesn't just stay in your brain. It goes out. Our brain is like a radio receiver and sender.
Yes.
And we're connected to the earth. And our emotions are also
influenced, yes,
the energy that's in the earth. And so if we're living in an area where there has been sadness at some point, deprivation of some point, control or war even. These things need to be cleared because you have this sense, you're picking up the energy of the people who have lived there in the past.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I know a little about that, too, from all the wars that took place.
Okay.
Between the natives.
Charlene has come back, Twyla. What are you saying, Charlene?
The word that he's using is the land is encompassed with brutality, is the word that he's using.
Okay, brutality.
Encumbered with what? Brutality.
Brutality.
Huh.
Brutality. In other words, people that it were very cruel, very vicious. Persecution. He used the word brutality. Does that mean something to you?
Well, yes, of course, I understand a lot about the Polynesian history, and there was a lot of terrible brutality that took place on this island.
Well, he went in and had that cleared. I want to see how you feel after that's been cleared, okay?
Okay.
Now, I think one of the things that you've been instructed before, that sometimes when there's been that much destruction on the land, sometimes we have to move rather than live on it. And we can ask God to go in and clear it and take the negative energy off, but sometimes it's so severe, apparently, especially if it's a lot of bloodshed, that we end up having to move from that area.
That would present a terrible hardship.
That's right. So he went in to clear that. So I'm just saying that sometimes that's what happens. Is what's required. But he went in and had Archangel Michael and Jesus Christ go in and clear it for you, okay?
Oh, praise God. Yes, thank you.
And let's see how you're feeling in the next week. Call back.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And see if that fear has been dispersed.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay, honey. Well, thank you both so much. God bless you.
Before you go, Twyla, would you consider yourself an empath, meaning you pick up people's energies and feelings?
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think this is also part of your personality in the sense that you easily, it seems to me that it is easier for you to pick up how people feel, and so what was there in these energies that Charlene has said has been cleared, you were picking up in that manner, that those feelings. And the people probably did have fear. You know, it's very possible the fear you were feeling was not your own.
Right. She's feeling it from the land.
Mm-hmm.
That was good to know.
Well, let us know next week how things go, Twyla.
I sure will. Thank you so much, Annie.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, time is marching on. And if you're listening to our voice, and you have some things you want to change, information you want, you got that wish list, give us a call. Toll free, 877-876-5227. Charlene, while we're waiting for another soul to call us, how about giving us a few words about your information on the pyramid that God gave you?
Well, a few years ago, I was doing was going in the process of writing a book with a friend of mine, and he showed me these pyramids that I was to put on the front of the book and on the back of the book. Now, the pyramids, I was told, would have to be done in gold. So it took me forever to find gold. I didn't know what he wanted in regards to gold. I thought it was just the color, but I ended up being instructed to go do gold leafing for the background. So I did the background in gold leafing because that's a higher vibrational frequency. So I did that, and then the pyramid on it has a swirl. One goes one direction, and the other pyramid that's on the back goes counterclockwise. When you take them and invert them together, you have a higher vibrational frequency because you have one energy field that is running clockwise and one that's running counterclockwise. That's why the laser is so powerful, because it has two energy fields interacting within each other. So then there have also the color spectrum. Within that swirl, there's a color spectrum. And that's what you have when you have the diamond or a crystal. You have all of the color spectrums. But at the time, I didn't know why he was telling me to do it. But now that in this time frame, I'm being told that the symbols have to get out there because they're to be a protection for those people that have it, have that symbol. It's to help protect them because it'll vibrate at a higher frequency and it'll protect their field.
So how does somebody use this, Charlene?
Well, I haven't gotten all the information from it yet. I guess apparently what I've been doing with it is I just have it available so that I can look at it and use it. And you can have one dimension. Call, answer that, and then I'll finish.
Yeah, we'll take this and then continue with your discussion. Your
right.
name, please.
Hello, Carolyn. It's Marcia. Hello. How
Hi,
are
Marcia.
You?
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
What can we do for you, dear?
Well, I have a number of dreams of my heart, and I had, you know, some indications about making some changes in relationships. At the same time, I'm very reluctant to do that, and I have a partner who is just not on my level at all, but whom I really care for, who I'm trying to help heal, but I'm not sure that it's working. And I was just sort of wondering what you might be able to find in the records. I know that we've had past lives in our records, but that's not what I'm interested in. I'm more interested in finding out if this has any saving grace or if I should really just move on, because I'm curious. I've been told by Archangel Michael, too, that there is a possibility of meeting up with maybe a twin flame or something, and you know, I really can't find the answers myself. It's just been an endless situation of frustration, and also, you know, even when I get the divine guidance, it just seems like I can't do anything about it.
Well, we can certainly ask about that, Marcia, and I understand that this has more to do with the relationship, but I heard something when you first started talking that I want you to clarify. You said something about your heart. What did I miss something? Did you mean you just went within your heart to search?
I was meaning the dreams of my heart. I'm wanting to fully step forth into my light work and manifest the perfect life that, you know, I envision for myself. And while my life is very good and I'm very satisfied on many levels, I'm feeling the need for change, not just in the relationship, but also in my professional life as well. So anything that you can, that you would be willing to work on or check the records for, I'm
okay,
even
we've got
grateful.
Two questions here.
Yes.
One has to do with the relationship, but the other has to do from the professional side. What do you say we do this, Marcia? We'll see what we can do from the record standpoint with mission, and then if we have time, what we'll do is we'll ask Charlene to work on this. It sounds to me like you need some programming here on the professional side.
I think I do. I heard her working, and by the way, I'm very sorry at the loss of your friend who used to accompany you on the show.
Oh, yes. We miss her dearly, even though she's on the other side working with us. We just loved to have her physical companionship.
Well, I just called in maybe a month and a half ago, and she did a healing on me for a sinus headache, and it was marvelous. And telling her in my mind, thank you, and, you know, Godspeed wherever she is, but I'm really sorry that you lost her.
She's telling us she's here.
I know.
Yeah, she said she's not lost. She hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, I know. I know all that. But still, you know, I miss her voice, and, you know, it's just a shame in a way.
We had a lot of fun together, didn't we?
I know.
Yeah. You hate to see the fun. You prefer not to have the fun side of it end.
Exactly. I know, Carolyn.
Okay, let's see. Well, if we have enough time to do both of these things for you, Marcia, I've got to center myself a little. It's hard to get up there to the cherubim when you're giggling. Though they do enjoy a giggle now and then. But there is one standing there with your record. So I guess even though we giggled, we must be connected enough.
Well, bless you. Keep going if you can,
dear. Okay, let's see what they got, dear. Of course, she has your record, though many times when we look for a record, they will open up the record and show me on the inside of it, and she's not doing this. What she is doing is showing me the cover. Usually when they do that, when they show me the cover, what is on the outside, it's because they want me to become aware of the geometric shape that is there. And this is the reason for her showing me the outside of the cover. And the cover has a spiral moving around in the center. And this is moving counterclockwise.
It has a what moving in the center?
There is a spiral. Moving. It's on the front cover. It is a spiral. And what that is energy. And when I first viewed it, I thought it was running counterclockwise, but it's not. It's running clockwise. And
mm-hmm. It's doing both.
Well, maybe that's what it is. It's doing
both. You're doing both.
And
I'm not hearing you quite clearly of what this image is that you're getting.
It is a spiral.
Oh,
a circle.
Okay.
A circle.
A circle that is in motion.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. And so the spiral is in motion, and on the outside, it's big, and then as it goes towards the center, it gets smaller, and it goes inside of the record. And what I am seeing is there is a brown edge along the outside of the cover, and then there is gold. And the there is a mark in that spiral, and she is telling me that she wanted you to be aware of this because it is the mark that your records has been one of those records that was turned over to source. In other words, we talked about this earlier. You might not have been listening, but periodically, a source asks for a particular record, and what she is indicating is your records were turned over to source to be reviewed, and then when the review work is done, they send the record back to the cherubim. So you have had missions in the past that were very important missions that source or all there is has been following and actually working with. So you had missions here on the earth that were you were sent here and asked by source to accomplish work with certain challenges, and he would review the records periodically to see not so much you but the interaction between those forces who were challenging the light and how you worked with it and how they had ended or finished or got to the end and were completed or were not completed. So what they are saying is that you have been a messenger, as many have been messengers, and it is in your record that you've been a messenger, that you have worked for Source. Source is very much aware of the different times that you have come and have worked on that command. So she's mm-hmm. starting the information with that first. And then she is moving to that section with this particular life and is asking, or your request, more or less, is about that I'm working with here is your request about your mission in this particular lifetime, as it has to do with the companion that you are working with at the moment. And what the answer to that is that this was an agreement between the two of you, that even though you feel that you were not on the same life path, as she's showing me, like, your face is going in one way and his face is going in the other. The two of you are not looking in the same direction. But there were attributes that, number one, he brought, and number two, supported you, and number three, there was this interaction between the two of you that completed some of the past lifetimes that you've had together,
mm-hmm.
that you had lifetimes together where you were not necessarily working together in the same path. But again, in the past, he did protect you, and this lifetime is, in a sense, repetition to a certain extent of that protection in the past. But
mm-hmm.
understand also that you came to be a beacon or a signpost that, if he so chose, he could follow in your direction. That there was this opportunity that you were offering to him to follow through, to open a door, so to speak, to an aspect, to a spiritual aspect for him in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are saying is he has not chosen to do this, but
mm-hmm.
it does not mean that he will not open that door and follow you, though the time is growing short, is what they are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So the lifetime that you've had with him was one that was designated. It was an opportunity. He came to support you, not spiritually, but in other ways. And you
mm-hmm.
came to open up that doorway into spirituality for him, and metaphysically. This has not been part of his demeanor, is a word that they are using, though it is something that is of a basic nature to him, but he is not choosing to follow that path now. And that is what is frustrating you, that you want a companion that is going to, and again, they're showing me the male and the female looking in the same direction, to be compatible in the sense that you want someone to share your work with, someone who would understand what you're doing, and that this is what is causing you to feel lonely, that you feel that you are out there all by yourself and you don't have someone with you who understands what you're all about, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And you hit the nail on the head with him. He, you know, he has many wonderful attributes
mm-hmm.
and has been supportive. Yes. And I've done some past life review recently and found out that we've been together before. And I figured that we were either supposed to tie it up, or that it was an opportunity for him to spiritually grow, but he hasn't. You know, you can lead a horse to water.
Well,
you know,
tie it up or release is,
yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Is tie it up or release.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the end note. Now, I don't know if that helps you any, Marcia, does it?
Well, your insights about him and about myself were right. Everything you said was correct. I think that I'm having trouble coming to any decision on this matter because it's weighing very heavily on my heart. And, you know, I realize that it's not something I take lightly, but I may be too serious and I may be perseverating too much, you know.
Well, let's see if they have more to add about that.
Thank you.
They're using the word responsible, that you have been one who has been spiritually responsible in the past, and you are spiritually responsible now. And they are suggesting that you try this. See the light within him. You don't have to talk to him about it, but see him as one who holds the light of a soul that was given to him by Source. And in the final analysis, the final judgment, he is responsible for that light and the care of that light, and not you. And some of what they are saying is that some of the reason why you're having a difficult time making a decision is you're not seeing the light of his soul as he being responsible for the choices that he is making. And so you have the light within you. He has the light within him. He must rely upon that light. You must rely upon your light. So in this particular case, they are suggesting, and you do this, they are saying, but do this more. Send the pink light of love not to him, but to his soul. So do some meditation. Send the pink light of love to his higher mind that leads to his soul. And when he is ready, when the opportune time is ready for him to accept it, they will release this to him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, it's a beautiful concept. I'll do that, Carolyn. That sounds like a very good idea. And sometimes, you know, we become so accustomed to others that are in our life that we just don't see anything like that anymore.
Well,
you know, we just think about leaving, you know?
Yeah. See, they're adding to this that he is an intuitive individual. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that he has a lot of spiritual gifts that are there potentially.
Well, you see, he is intuitive, and there are times when he feels that you are pushing him or directing him to do the things that you want to do. Do you feel that in him?
Yeah, I would say that's probably true.
Mm-hmm. So there's some conflict there, and that way, if you send the energy to his soul, the higher mind, the entranceway to the monad, will turn it over to him at the appropriate time. So just hold his view, or hold your view of him, as one who holds the light in his own of his own soul. He's responsible to that. Send your love, your guidance, the pink energy from your heart to his soul essence. And allow that to be released. Now, one of two things are going to happen with that. He will accept that and move more towards your point of view on your work and your spiritual life, or he will not accept it. And they are suggesting that you practice that meditation for a while, see what happens, and then that will help you to decide your choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that sounds like a very good idea, Carolyn, because I think that a lot of what I do is think, and I think I need to actually work on different energies like they're suggesting and not spend time analyzing things, you know?
Yeah.
And I think coming from a spiritual source and sending energy to his monad, that sounds like a great idea, because he does have, you know, he can have a wonderful vibration, you know, and he does have a higher self, I'm sure. But, you know, it's just a typical guy kind of rote behavior, I think, that a lot of us deal with relationships with guys. They're very programmed by society and by social norms, you know.
That's all very true, but he's intuitive enough to know that, in a sense, that you're sending him, I don't want to say a command, that probably, he senses that you are, And it's not exactly manipulation. It's you have this strong desire, and you want him to kind of like fall in step with you on that, and he's feeling the push.
Mm-hmm.
And he's intuitive enough to feel that push. And so by sending, by actually sitting down and doing that meditation, it will be more subtle.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's causing him some conflict maybe, and he doesn't want to think like I do or believe as though I do or spiritually grow. So, you know, approach it maybe from a more subtle angle.
Yes,
and
I don't believe it's that he doesn't want to grow spiritually. I think he sees himself as the two of you standing next together, you know, standing next to one another. You're standing next to one another. You've got a partnership in the sense that there is a bond there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are times when he feels like he doesn't have the free will to make his own choice in the issue, that he's feeling a push.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that he doesn't like to take responsibility for his own choices. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that can work sometimes, and people can refuse to make choices, and therefore the choice becomes a default because one person will choose for both, sort of. So
well,
sort of
don't think about any of this for
mm-hmm.
a week. Just
yeah.
when you're thinking of it, meditate, send your love to his higher self. See how that works out. You're either if you do that. I think you'll find some answers as to which way to go. And also, I think perhaps there's some fear on your part, too, of going it alone, so to speak, because
mm-hmm.
there's a part of you that really wants a partner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. That is also very true.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Charlene a question. Charlene,
yes,
we have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Is that enough time for you to...
Right, that's fine. All the things you said is very, very important. You're to back out of fear. And fear creates control. Let him be who he is,
mm-hmm.
and you be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's saying, because so many times you might become so anxious that you might go in with a different energy than really what you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
So just see him with love, knowing
mm-hmm.
that if this relationship is meant to be, it'll happen. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you don't choose to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be the one controlling it. Just
mm-hmm.
back off and let God do his job.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Charlene.
Well, Marcia, what I would suggest that you do is call back again for a couple on a couple levels. I think that the fear can be cleared. I think
mm-hmm.
that we could work with the professional aspect of
mm-hmm.
bringing forth more of what you're trying to bring forth, and then
mm-hmm.
let us know how you know this works with doing the meditation. But call back later, dear.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, and many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you, too.
All right. Thank you both. Bye
okay.
now.
Bye. What is so fascinating about these things, Charlene, is people out there really do have concerns of one sort or another, covering a whole multitude of questions. And there might be some who do not wish to call and discuss this on the air. They might want to work with you personally on the telephone. So give your phone number out again.
Oh, okay. It's Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346. And there's just about anything that if you want to clear it, it can be, God can clear anything that you choose.
Yes, it's a case of deciding what you want.
Right, and what isn't working in your life, and it's not like with her. You know, I feel like that so many times we become so anxious about what we want in our lives that we take over responsibility for the other person's progression. And sometimes that isn't easy as a human to let that go. But we can clear our issues and deal within ourselves, our own progression. So that was done very well.
Yes. I always find that the cherubim give such remarkable answers. And for those of you who might want a reading, a personal reading from the cherubim, you can also find that available at my website, www.carolyneevers.com. I find such great wisdom that comes from the records. It seems to me that they always come from a perspective that one hasn't thought about. And so keep that in mind, a personal reading, and also hopefully if your soul is calling you to join Archangel Michael to learn how to use the standing wave, which is the tool for ascension and healing, do consider joining us at the conference calls. So, Charlene, we probably have 2 minutes, and during those 2 minutes, we do have a last word with people. Is there anything that comes to mind that you might want to discuss in a minute?
Okay. Well, I think one of the things is just what we covered before. There isn't any area in your life that God doesn't, that He cares about. He cares about every aspect of what you're going through, how you're feeling about it, and how you would like to have it changed. And people say, well, things are as they are, but that isn't so, because all things can be changed, because God will change it for you in a positive way. So just recognize the fact, because you're so loved and cared about, that whatever will make your life happy, He's willing to work with you on it.
Now, for my minute, I would like to close with this. I started with my granddaughter and the joy of children,
right.
And I would like to end it with that. You know, children do the things that they do, like my grandchild rolling in money and enjoying it because she was told that you'll roll in money. You see, they just believe it. And so I would leave with that thought. Stop working these things over in your mind, trying to find a solution by using your logic. Go for the child approach. Do it. Anything is possible. Just believe in it. Believe in yourself. Believe in God. And believe that we'll be back next week.
Yes. And in the meantime, just know that God loves you unconditionally.
Goodbye, all.
Bye.
Goodbye, Charlene.
Goodbye, Carolyn. Talk to you in a few minutes.